How you doing, Mr. Black?
How the fuck do you think I'm doing? Check, check, check. Fucking check.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lewis Black!
That is way too much excitement. Son of a bitch. I mean, this is all fun for you guys, but I gotta fucking work here. I'm thrilled to see you all out here this evening. I really didn't think that the audience that I kind of am lucky enough to have gathered could afford Broadway prices. It really is nice that people are actually coming out to see me now. I'm kind of, I'm amazed. And I am, and I think it's terrific. But, you know, you bring your friends, and I don't really need them. You know, you and I have developed a relationship. I don't need these fucking strangers hanging around. You know, you spend, you know, you for the 2 weeks before you see me, you go, oh, you got to see this guy. He's really funny. How do you think that makes me feel? Puts a lot of goddamn pressure on me. Because if I'm not funny, you're fucked. It was a really special winter, wasn't it? If you're a fucking moose. If you got fur on your nuts, it's been a fucking festival. It was the coldest winter ever. I thought last winter was the coldest winter ever. But I was fucking wrong, wasn't I? You see, because I travel all the time. So last winter, I'd be in the Midwest, and the blizzard would hit. And then I'd fly home, and the blizzard would hit again. But it has been way too cold this winter on the East Coast. I mean, it's the temperatures have been ungodly. Where the fuck is global warming when you need it? I think the people of this city should literally every day have been on the streets with aerosol cans. Nobody should have to live like this. And even if they hadn't told me, I would have known it was the coldest winter ever. Because I have not had one thought. I have not been able to complete a sentence in my own head. I find myself walking around going, you know what I should really... Fuck, it's cold! Need to live like this. I had a tremendous idea, a way to change the climate, and we had the money to do it. Just a few years ago, our country had the largest surplus ever, $2 trillion. And now, just a few years later, we have the largest deficit ever, $3.5 trillion. That means we went through $5.5 trillion in just a few years, and nobody explained where the fuck it went. If we actually went through $5.5 trillion, you know what? Each one of us should have gotten a goddamn coupon. For shoes or a coat or whatever you need. So the federal government decided the way to make this money up was to have a $350 billion tax cut. Okay? And by the federal government, I mean Republicans and Democrats working together. And the only thing dumber than a Republican or a Democrat is when these pricks work together. We have a two-party system. The Democratic Party, which is a party of no ideas. And the Republican Party, which is a party of bad ideas. And the way it works is the Republican stands up in Congress and goes, I got a really bad idea. And the Democrat says, and I can make it shittier. These guys believe that a $350 billion tax cut will stimulate the economy. And they're full of shit. Because they don't know what stimulates the economy. The economy goes up and goes down and goes up and goes down, goes up and goes down. Nobody knows why the fuck it happens. And I know this because I took economics. And I'd explain it to you, but I flunked that course. It's not my fault. They taught it at 8 o'clock in the morning. And there is absolutely nothing that you can learn out of one bloodshot eye. After I flunked the first two tests, I grabbed the professor by the throat and I said, why are you teaching this shit at this ungodly hour? Are you trying to keep this stuff a secret? So they come up with a $350 billion tax cut at a time in which every city and every state that I've been through is broke. Is broke. And you're going to cut taxes. They're so broke that they've actually cut essential services. In many places, they've cut policemen, because who the fuck needs them? Or firemen, son of a bitch. It's much more fun watching something burn down. In our city, New York, they cut after school programming. And if anybody needs to be distracted, it's those little pricks. So I said, you know, if you're going to cut after school programming, it seems to me the least you could do is give each one of those kids a knife. And they could whittle. They could whittle. And sell their crafts at the fair. But if you're a parent, hold on to your hats. The federal government is going to give you $400 for each child you have. So if you've got 1,000 kids, you're on fucking easy street. You might want to start adopting 50 at a time. Just pick some up off the street and take them home with you. $400. That's where you go. What's the federal government thinking? I mean, what do congressmen's children eat? Mites! All $400 does is remind you how fucked you are. You'd have been better off if your congressman just came to your door and pissed on your foot. It's $1 a day. $1 a day. You know how to stretch that kind of money? Put your kid in a box and send him off to a Sally Struthers country. Where $1 goes a long fucking way. And he can have all the dried milk he can choke down. And at the end of the year, you've got $35 left over. So at Christmas, you can give your kid 2 nice boxes of shit. See, what I think you logically do with a instead of having a $350 billion tax cut, what you do with that money is do a public works project. See, what that is you pay a lot of people to build something, okay? And that way you employ people who are unemployed. And then they get money, and they spend it, and that stimulates the fucking economy, too! So you pick a place that really needs something. You know, a state that could really use it, like Mississippi. Of course, Mississippi. Because that's the place that no one has ever thought, boy, I got a vacation. I need 2 weeks in Biloxi. And you go down there and you find a place that's totally in the shitter. You won't have to go far. And what you do is build a big fucking thing. I don't care what it is, as long as it's big and it's a fucking thing. And then the economy will explode because people will say, I gotta see the big fucking thing. And then there'll be a big fucking thing restaurant, a big fucking thing hotel and casino, a big fucking thing spa. See, what I felt they should have done for our first public works project is build a giant wall across the entire border of Canada. Because that's where the cold air comes from. I got to travel a lot this year. I got to get out of the country, which was really great. And you know, it would have been nice if our president, when he was young, had some intellectual fucking curiosity. And he'd gotten out of the country, too. I was shocked to discover that he never even went to Canada. How's that possible? Even drunk on a bet, you make it to Canada. I got to Italy. I'd never been there. It's extraordinary. If you've not gone, unbelievable. I didn't know this, but Jesus Christ is, woohoo, he's big there. Everywhere I turn, there's Jesus, there's Jesus, there's Jesus, there's Jesus, there's Jesus. He is like the Coca-Cola of Italy. And I'm Jewish, and I have to say, after 3 weeks there, I started to think he might be the real thing. I went to New Zealand this year, and man, I know a lot of people want to go there. Let me just tell you, it's 22 hours by plane. So if you have the opportunity, don't. You don't want to be on a plane for more than 8 hours. 22 hours is like a stress test that's out of control. You're locked in there. The treadmill's going. You got wires everywhere. Where's the fucking nurse? Where's the fucking nurse? You want to know what it's like to be on a plane for 22 hours? Go home, sit in a chair, and squeeze your head as hard as you can. Don't stop. Don't fucking stop. Then take a paper bag and put it over your mouth and nose. And breathe your own air over and over, 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 over. Now they say, you know, that you should fly first class. Well, that doesn't fucking help. So the chair is comfortable, you're still squeezing the fuck out of your head. And if you're in coach, kill yourself. What you want to do is, when you finally have snapped, walk back to one of the bathrooms, go in, put your head in the toilet, and flush it. The suction is such that your head will be ripped right off. But you're better off, literally, traveling with your head in toilet water than spending more than 8 or 9 hours in coach. Who do you think designed the coach seats on an airplane? I think it's a guy with scoliosis who was really pissed. God damn it, this is the most comfortable chair ever. I don't know what they're bitching about. This is perfect. What they should do, I think, is take all the coach seats out of the planes and give everybody a 5-foot stick. That way you can sit wherever you want. You just take it, shove it up your ass, spin around. When you get bored, then after 12 hours, you can just beat the shit out of each other. The airlines try to distract you. They bring you food, food, liquor, liquor, food, liquor, liquor, food, food. Cognac. They offered me cognac. I didn't even drink cognac, so I said, fire that son of a bitch up and throw it at my head. Then they show you a movie, then they show you another movie. And when all that's done, there's still 14 hours to fucking go. If the people of New Zealand want to be a part of our world, I believe they should hop off their islands and push them closer. Now, they say that New Zealand is beautiful, and I do not know. Because after 22 hours on a plane, any landmass would be beautiful. We could have landed on a tiny iceberg, and there could have been just two penguins blowing each other. And I would have been thrilled to see them. And I would have performed. The most important part of travel is when you come home, because that's when you see your country with new eyes. I was amazed to realize that we are the only country that tells the rest of the world on a nearly constant basis that we are the greatest country on earth. And that is a little fucking obnoxious. And I know it's obnoxious, because if you were in an office and there was someone there who came in every day and said, I'm the greatest fucker here, and you sniveling shits would die without me. I can guarantee by the end of the week, you'd have killed him and eaten him just to try to possess his power. The amazing thing is there are people who've never left this country who talk about the fact that we're the greatest country on earth. How fucking dumb is that? Because you don't know. If you haven't left here, you don't know. There are countries that may be giving shit away every day. Canada's one of those countries. You know what they give away? Health insurance. And we don't have national health insurance. And if any country needs it, this one does. Because this country is more obsessed about its health than any other country on earth. We're completely obsessed about our health. We're obsessed so much about our health that we worry about it. And when you worry about your health, you're fucking going to get sick, aren't you? I flew back from Los Angeles, and on the plane was a Time magazine. And there was a 30-page article about diabetes. And I read every page. And by the time that plane landed, I had diabetes. And for all we study about health, we know nothing. Is milk good or bad? I rest my case. You don't know. You don't know anymore. And a lot of you were sitting there thinking, fuck, I'm an adult. I don't have to drink that shit anymore. When I was a kid, you knew milk was good. Because there was only one kind of milk, moo cow fuck milk, and that was it. And you had to drink 4 glasses a day. Now you don't know, because when you go down the aisle of the grocery store, the milk aisle goes on for fucking ever. There's 1%, 2%, low fat, skim, acidophilus milk. What the fuck are you talking about? Acidophilus milk. Milk doesn't need a friend. That shit belongs in the yogurt section. Lactose intolerant milk. Kiss my dick. If you're lactose intolerant, you can't drink milk. So what's in the fucking carton? Get it out of there. Get it away from my milk. It is talking to my milk and making it feel bad about itself. Soy milk. Beyond belief, I was in Los Angeles, and I ordered some coffee, and they said, would you like whole milk, skim milk, or soy milk? And my fist stopped right in his face. There's no such thing as soy milk. It's soy juice. But they couldn't sell soy juice. So they called it soy milk, because anytime you say soy juice, you actually start to gag. And they put soy milk in with my moo cow fuck milk. And it doesn't belong there, because we all know there's no soy milk, because there's no soy titty, is there? We care so much about health that during the last 25 years, we destroyed water. Because when I was a child, this was the simplest thing of all. This was the essence of life. And when you were thirsty, That's the operative word, ladies and gentlemen. The word is and has and will always be thirsty. Not hydrate. They made that fucking word up. I could go anywhere in my house when I was a child. You know, there was three or four different rooms. I could go into my basement and I could get clean water and drink it. And then go back out and play. And those were great times. But then we decided every town and every village which had the water coming to it, and all they had to do was clean it, said, we'll save money. We won't clean the water so much. And with the money we can save, we can then buy the water at the supermarket. Try to go through this logic with me. Our country had water coming to our homes. And even if we were locked out, we could still get it. Clean water. And we said, no, fuck you. I don't want it to be that goddamn convenient. I want to drive and drive and drive and look for water like my ancestors did. So we now buy water from Coke and Pepsi. Because when I think clean water, oh yeah, I fucking think Coke and Pepsi. The water that they sell is actually so shitty, they won't put it in Coke and Pepsi. And that's not funny, because it's fucking probably true. Aquafina? I think it means the end of water as we know it. Then there's spring water. All sorts of spring waters. Deer Park, which I don't touch because there's a picture of a deer, and you don't need a deer pissing and shitting in your water. There's all sorts of spring waters. It's bullshit. Because nobody's ever seen a spring. Nobody's ever fucking seen a spring. Uh-uh. There's no such thing. Fuck, when was the last time you said, boy, I can't wait to go to a bottling plant? You know where spring water comes from? There's a couple in Pittsburgh that sits in a bathtub and fills these fuckers up. Because that's how stupid they think we are. They think we're so stupid that on many bottles of spring water, they print the nutritional facts. The nutritional facts of water! How dumb do they think we are? It's as if they believed that we fell asleep on a nuclear reactor and our brains had melted and we are now nothing more than meat with eyes. I wonder how many calories are in water. Let me look. Total fat. Total fuck fat in water. What that implies is that there's water with chunks of fat in it. And I gotta find that water because that's the tasty goddamn water. And if that weren't enough, they print next to the calories and the total fat, all of the zeros that are there, they print the percent of our daily requirement. If they think we're that stupid, the labels on spring water should just be written in crayon with the R reversed and a finger like this. When I was a kid and water was free, nobody ever told you how much water to drink. Ever. 4 glasses of milk, nothing about water. But then they started bottling water. And as soon as they started bottling it, they said 8 bottles a day. 8! 8, you fuckers! That's like a goddamn homework assignment. I can't remember what day it is. Now I gotta remember how many bottles of water I drank? Fuck you. That's 56 bottles of water a week. You need a burrow to carry that much shit around. And if you don't drink 56 bottles of water a week, many doctors say at the end of the week, you should take a garden hose and shove it up your ass. Here's the kicker. You're going to love this. Scientists have begun to experiment to find out the effects of water on our system. And guess what? We're probably drinking too much water. And by the sound of your reaction, I realize that some of you are fucked. You've been scarfing this shit down. You've been yelling, look at me, look at me. My pee has no color. That's because you pissed all the nutrients in your brain away, and you're lucky your head hasn't caved in. There are people who walk out of their apartments in New York City every morning of every work week carrying a liter bottle of water in a sling as if it was a little baby. They're carrying a liter bottle of water with them
as if they were crossing the goddamn Mojave. What if I never see water again?
The bottom line is that nobody knows. Nobody knows shit about health. I know this because there was an article written a few years ago about a gentleman living in the Bronx, the oldest man living in New York, 115 years old, living by himself, having no health problems, getting around without any trouble whatsoever, mentally clear. And they asked him what his diet was. And he said that from the ages of 90 to 115, he'd narrowed his diet down. And it now consisted of bread fried in fatback and 3 gallons of Thunderbird wine a week. When they asked him why he didn't fry his bread in bacon, he said, because bacon's too lean. Imagine if he went to a doctor. Guy had been doing tremendously, and if he sat there and described his diet, the doctor would have gone, what the fuck's the matter with you? You can't eat that anymore. You have to start on a diet of fruits and vegetables. And he would have, and he'd have been dead in a week. Because they don't know. They try to come up with these general rules of health. And they can't do it. It's impossible to do. Because everybody's health is different. What's good for one of you will kill the person sitting next to you. Every one of you has a health that is unique and totally different from everybody else. Completely. Because we are all like snowflakes. I've thought of 2 general rules of health, and I think these actually work. The first is, the good die young, but pricks live forever. So, if you want to increase your longevity, If there's a kid who lives across the street, whenever you see him, run outside and go, "Get out of here, you little shit!" And it'll be just like taking vitamins. The second is, if you masturbate 20 times a day, you'll never make it out your front door. You might make it to the door, but when you squeeze the handle, you'll pass out. And let me just say that I did that experiment in my own lab, wearing a white lab coat with a rectal thermometer in my pocket. Now, for women, my belief is it's probably 30 times a day, but I can't find a woman to come to my lab! We have a health issue that still looms in front of us. It's extraordinary that it does, but the fact is there can still be a smallpox epidemic in this country. And the reason for that is that the vaccines that we were given, and I was told was going to last forever, wore the fuck off. And they waited until a possible emergency condition to tell us. That's as if you went to a public bathroom, flushed the toilet, and the water just hit you in the face. And as you left, on the door, as you're leaving, it said, "Danger, water may hit you in the face." I can't believe it wore off. And they didn't tell us, because that means my whole life has been a delusion. Because every day I'd wake up and I'd go, "Well, it's going to suck today, but at least I'm not getting smallpox." If I get smallpox, I will file suit against my government, because they took me out of a very important class to get that vaccine. And if I had taken that class, I wouldn't have to do this bullshit for a living. I'd have a real job, like with WorldCom or Enron or Tyco, Global Crossing, Adelphia. Or any of those wonderful, wonderful businesses that did so much to inspire us to invest in the stock market. The people who ran these companies are the greediest group of fuckers ever. I know this because we have a lot of greedy people in this country. And the greediest of the greedy saw what these guys did and went, "Wow, that's really fucking greedy. I wish I'd thought of it." Father and two sons run Adelphia. It's a cable company. And they take from the company $1 billion. A billion. Three people. Three people took $1 billion. A billion. What were they going to do? Start their own space program? Let's send a monkey to Mars, Dad. If that weren't enough, they took $13 million of company money and used it to build a golf course in their own backyard. What amazes me is the people who worked for that company and knew that they did it, that they didn't rise as one and slay them. I've never understood why the people of France chopped off Marie Antoinette's head. Now I fucking get it! Then, of course, there's Dennis Kozlowski. He took from his company $463 million because, well, he had to buy shit. Are you kidding me? He gets on the phone, "I'd like all the corn in Iowa." because I'm having a hoedown. Dennis spent $16,000 on an umbrella stand. I will repeat that. My gentle snowflakes. He, a guy, it's a guy, it's a guy. Not even fruity, it's a guy. Spent $16,000 on an umbrella stand. None of us would do that because we have an umbrella stand where we live and we call it a bathtub. My parents spent $16,000 on a used car. You could put a lot of umbrellas in there. Or you could drive to where it isn't raining. Now, when you spend $16,000 on an umbrella stand, it has got to be made out of something that's very special. So that you say to yourself, I must possess this. No one else shall own it. And I think it was probably made out of Martha Stewart's vagina. I can tell some of you are shocked because you didn't know she had one. But she does, and I heard it goes with any decor. I think these greedy fuckers who ran these companies should have been put into insane asylums for 20 years, minimum, where they should be forced to sit next to someone who's crocheting something that isn't there. I was wondering what I would do is if I had $463 million. Because what these guys did, they just bought stuff. That's what they did. They acquired things in order to one-up each other. That's in part why it got out of control. They bought things. How many things can you buy? How much shit do you need? They bought art. A lot of it they didn't look at. They bought car after car after car. You know, some of them which they didn't even drive. They bought 3, 4, and 5 homes and redecorated them. And they got a tax write-off. And I'd have a joke for that. But I'm not that fucking funny. I don't believe you one-up people by buying something bigger. Or that's not the way it works. If you really want to shake somebody up and you want to fuck with them, and what you do is you be creative. You use that money in a way that these idiots could never imagine. You know what I would have done with that money? I would have hired a young girl in her early 20s. I would have paid her a remarkable salary. I would give her the best pension and benefits that money could buy. I'd give her health insurance. And she would be my personal ball washer. You know what? I can sense some of you pulling away from me. And all I can tell you is that I came a long way just to share a dream with you. There's nothing sexual about this. I think if you're an important person and you want to show off to other important people, what would be better than having a woman walk in front of you, rinsing and scrubbing, rinsing and scrubbing? Scrub, scrub, rinse, rinse, scrub, scrub, rinse, rinse. Because I am an important CEO and my nuts should be clean. And then the other CEOs would gather and they'd go, who's that? Who's that? That, my friends, is my very esteemed personal ball washer. What did you guys buy? Another car? But there is good news. I know that we all feel a lot safer now that Homeland Security is in place. I know that every day you wake up going, God damn it, nothing's going to happen. It's unbelievable. Homeland Security is a problem because it's a good idea, but it's a problem because the man who runs it is Tom Ridge. And he is someone who has the leadership qualities of a gerbil. He was a part of coming up with what is the color coding system of security. You know, orange and yellow and whatever the fuck the others are. Okay, and what's stupid about it is they have the color coding. Like we're in fucking elementary school. There's no need for that. Because every time they tell us what the color is, then they have to fucking explain it. So get rid of the fucking color. Simplify it. There should be three levels of security. Jesus Christ. God damn it. Fuck me. You see, I thought the color coding meant that was the color clothes you were supposed to wear that day. And that way we could find out who the enemy was. I'll never forget the first time we went to Code Orange. Tom Ridge came on television to speak to the American people. His job, really, as the leader, is to keep us calm. I know this is a terrifying time, he should have said, but everything's going to be all right. Just keep alert. We're going to pull through this together. And what did Tom do? He came out and he went, we're fucked! We're fucked! I don't know what's going to happen. There are going to be giant ticks everywhere. We don't know. Run, scurry, flee, flee! But in case of a chemical attack, be absolutely sure that you have duct tape and lots of water. Our government told us that we could protect ourselves from a chemical fuck attack with duct tape. The only way duct tape protects you from a chemical attack is if you have enough that you could wrap it around yourself and suffocate before the chemicals killed you. As soon as they told us that we should protect ourselves with duct tape, immediately, a group of citizens should have been sent to Washington on our behalf. And they should have taken everyone, from the president on down, out for an afternoon of electroshock. Just to get them back on track. Just to get them back on track. I'm always amazed when I hear people saying, that George Bush, he's a great leader. And I wonder, where can one find a drug that would make one so delusional? But, you know, I have the exact same reaction when somebody tells me that they think Bill Clinton is a great leader. It's beyond belief to me. It's extraordinary. These guys, I will tell you this. If you are inspired by either George Bush or Bill Clinton, then you were probably inspired by your high school principal. I'll tell you why Clinton and Bush aren't great leaders, okay? It's that simple. Neither of them took responsibility for fucking anything. None of them. They're un-fucking-leavable. They pull shit and then they go, well, I don't fuck. They are exactly the same group of assholes that when I was a kid told me in case of a nuclear attack to hide under my desk. And Bush and our leaders now have no memory. They keep going, oh, this is the most terrifying time ever. Fuck you. That time was pretty fucking scary. You know what they would do? They would come to my elementary school with films to show me how to protect myself from a nuclear fuck holocaust. They would show this giant nuclear fucking bomb just blowing the shit out of everything. Goats and monkeys flying everywhere. The windows of the elementary school blown out, the teacher banged up against the fucking blackboard. But there were the children, hiding safely under their desk. Writing poetry, playing guitar. Every 2 weeks when I was 9, my elementary school would have an air raid drill. I guess to remind me, I could die at any minute. So I'd go hide under my desk, put my hands over my head and look at my penis and say, goodbye, old fella. And we just become friends. And I'm sitting there thinking, the adults in the community have said that I could protect myself from a fire fuck ball by hiding under wood. I'm hiding under kindling. Maybe I could get some sticks so I could burn faster. And I thought, wow, if this was a real attack, when the all clear sounded, I could get up and go out to the playground and melt. So why was I surprised when our leaders couldn't find the weapons of mass destruction? They couldn't find them. Nobody could find them. And nobody takes responsibility. Are you fucking kidding me? If that's the case, then, you know, make me the head of the CIA. Because I can watch TV and guess with the best of them. I believe that the CIA is truly filled with frustrated weathermen. How is there no accountability? How is that fucking possible? They failed on a massive fucking level. And there's nobody's taking responsibility. Are you fucking kidding me? If you had somebody who you worked with who just fucked up like these idiots did, they'd be gone. What if I came out here tonight and said, I'm not really a comic, I'm a magician. watched me make this rabbit disappear. And then I just ripped the fur off of it. Close enough, fuckers! You go and ask for your money back or you'd need psychiatric care. If they couldn't find the weapons, which were the reason we went to war, then why didn't they make something up? Why did they stop lying? My government has always lied to me. I'm comfortable with that. Son of a bitch! What's so tough? They could have done it simply. Just send two kids to Kinko's. I need the picture of a camel with a nuclear weapon on its back. Thank you.